Proverbs chapter 12. Those who love knowledge love correction. The fool hates correction. Now, who likes being corrected? Nobody. But for the righteous, this is a way of life. This is our regular experience, that wisdom corrects us. That wisdom may come through reading the Bible, and we're hit by a verse. And we think, yeah, I'm wrong. Or a wise person might say, look, that isn't the good thing you're doing. But we hate it. Who wants to be corrected? Who wants to say, I was wrong? But this is actually the way of life for the righteous. And it's an example of our humility, really. The Lord is pleased with the righteous, and yet he condemns those who plan evil. So then, God is looking at the heart, and he looks at what you're planning. Whether or not you actually do it, either for good or for bad, is not quite the point. It is the desire. It's the plan, the planning, the fantasizing, the working out the details, the imagination, which is important to God. So God is looking at the heart all the time. The wicked do not find safety and peace, but the righteous stand firm. Now, that doesn't mean that we will not have difficult situations, but what it means is that we will be firm in that we know whom we have believed. And again, I think Jesus was basing his parable of the two builders on this, that the house built by the person who's righteous, who listens to his word and does it, stands firm, and the house of the wicked falls over. A good wife is his husband's rejoicing, but a wife who brings shame on her husband is like cancer of the bones. Honest people behave in a just way, but the wicked deceive others. So do not be deceitful. Be just in all your dealings, because God is the ultimate just person. The words of the wicked bring death, but the words of the righteous rescue those who are on the way to death. So again, you see the importance of our words, that our words have power. They really have power. And therefore, Jesus says, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned, as if our words will be quoted back to us at the day of judgment. And this is why James says so much about the tongue, that it has the power of life and death. And of course, our words are only a reflection of our thoughts. So again, it is the heart, it is the thinking which is so important. The wicked will meet their downfall, and they will not leave any seed after them. But the seed of the righteous lives on. Well, that isn't generally absolutely true in this life, so I think it must be talking about ultimately that the wicked raise their children as they are, and so in the end, they live and they die and that's all they have, whereas the families of the righteous live on. Not that we live after death, but we have the great hope, and this is priceless, that we will be resurrected when Jesus comes back. And in that sense, family life is eternal, forever and ever and ever. And that's why any breakup of families by divorce or by argument or fallout, I'm not talking to you, I won't even shake your hand, this is also tragic, because if we are believers, we are to live forever together. Families are intended to be eternal. And this is why any fallout within families is really awful. And all we can say is that we must do all we can to always be open to dialogue, to be open to discussion, seeking a way forward, and of course, above all, to be absolutely forgiving. If you are wise, you will be praised. But if you are foolish, people will despise you. Well, again, that's not totally true in this life, but it will be ultimately true in the day of judgment. Now, people will mock you if you don't get all the money you can, or if you give away money to other people. They'll say, that's very foolish. But in the day of judgment, then people will realize, wow, you did well, that was right. It is better to work as a working man than to act as if you're wealthy and yet be starving. And that is, of course, again, what people tend to do. They tend to buy a really fancy car that's very old to make themselves look wealthy, and then the car keeps breaking down or whatever. A good man looks to the welfare of his beasts, of his animals, but the wicked are cruel to their animals. So the law of Moses actually tried to inculcate a culture of kindness to absolutely everybody and everything in our lives, and that includes animals. A hard-working farmer will have plenty of grain, unlike those who waste their time on foolish projects. Well, there is a lot of time wasting on foolish ideas, especially with the growth of the internet. And in the end, we cannot avoid the curse. And the curse is that man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face. And there's no way you can bypass that. People try to bypass it, get-rich-quick schemes and things like that. But we have to recognize that we are who we are. A wicked man becomes trapped in his own words, but the wise escapes from trouble. So again, you see the importance of words. People say, oh, I promise you, I'll do this for you. I promise this or that. And in the end, those words come back to bite you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And this is so true. Therefore, we've got to watch our words. And that means watching our thoughts. The foolish always assume that they are correct, but the wise listen to correction. And this is, again, what we started off by saying, that correction is something nobody wants. Nobody wants to be told they're wrong. And yet, if we are to grow spiritually, there is an element of accepting in that, that we have not always been wise, we have said wrong things, we have done wrong things, and that we want to change. And if we don't have that, and are just absolutely sure that I am right, I have never said anything wrong, I've never done anything wrong, anything that went wrong in my life was other people's fault, well, you see, you won't grow spiritually. When a fool is angry, it is known to everyone. But the wise ignore an insult. Now, that is very difficult, to ignore an insult. People say things that are particularly consciously intended to wind you up, to provoke you. And the way of wisdom is to not pay attention to those insults. Thoughtless words wound deeper than any weapon, but the words of the wise heal. So you see, your words are like a sword, they're like a spear that can penetrate right inside other people, because people think about the words you say. And if you say unkind words, they repeat those words to themselves in their mind, and we all tend to do this, and it really hurts them, and that wound gets bigger and bigger. And this is, again, why our words have got to be gentle and healing, doing something positive. Lies do not last forever, but the word of truth is eternal. So if you tell lies, in the end, it will not come to anything. But following the way of honesty, integrity, and truth, this leads to eternal life. Those who make evil plans will be upset. That is, they're going to have those plans wrecked. But those who work for good will find joy. The Lord hates lying, but is pleased with those who keep their oath. So God hates lying. And we can be dishonest not only by absolutely making up a total lie about somebody, but we can be dishonest by giving wrong impressions, by misleading people with misleading words. And this is all the same, and God hates this, and he loves being honest. The wise keep quiet sometimes about what they know, but the fool tell everybody their ignorance. So there's sometimes when you know something about somebody, and you don't therefore immediately go and say it. There is a way of wisdom. The righteous man is a guide to others, but the path of the wicked leads them astray. So part of being righteous is helping others, not just practically and materially, but guiding them in the way to life. That's why evangelism, or sharing the gospel, is for all of us. It's not just for some of us. Righteousness is the way to life, but wickedness is the way to death. And in Proverbs, you keep on meeting these two paths, like the two women, folly and wisdom. And there are only two paths, and there is no third way. And we all tend to imagine, oh, maybe there's a third way. I can be a bit righteous and a bit wicked and sort of on a third way, but there isn't. And the further you go down the road in life, then the closer you get to the end point, which is either eternal life or eternal death.